This morning we're going to be starting a brand new message series. We're starting into something new as we enter into the summer months here, and it's entitled Unexpected. And what we're learning about is just all of the unexpected ways that God has worked, that God has moved, and some of the very unexpected situations where He showed up at.
Yeah.
And I didn't know where to start because from cover to cover, that's exactly it. He is the unexpected God. Right. Works in unexpected ways, shows up in unexpected times, but there's one thing that we can always expect, and that is that He's there, He's with you, He's for you, and He's got this. He's got a plan through it. You may feel like you're in the middle of chaos, as we sung there in that last song. You may be in the middle of a mystery, not knowing what God is up to and why He's letting some things happen in your life. But He is a faithful God who always has your best interest in mind. These reminders about God's unexpectedness, we're going to be looking at how He worked in the past. But God is the same yesterday and today forever. If He did it in the past, He's going to do it again, right?
Yes.
Maybe in a brand new way, but He's going to do it again. If He freed the Israelites from the Egyptian bondage, He'll free you from your bondage. And it may be in a different way. The Red Sea's kind of far from here, so I don't think He's going to do it the same way, but He's going to make a way where there is no way, right? He makes a highway in the desert places, doesn't He?
Yes.
He is the rock in the desert from which enough water flows to satisfy the thirst of a nation. I mean, He's just so unexpected. He's always good. He's always faithful. And so these reminders of how God worked in the past, they're going to serve to remind us of God's faithfulness, of His miraculous power, the fact that He has authority over all things. There is nothing above the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But it will start to encourage us in our present and give us hope for the future, because He's not finished yet, right? You drew another breath, so He's not finished with your life yet. He wants to do something good in and through your life. Yeah. I think all of us woke up here this morning, right? I didn't see anyone getting drugged in here in a hearse, right? If you do, we'll raise you back. We'll try at least. But, so God's not finished yet. He's got some good stuff. Now, God almost always begins working with His Word. Not consistently every single time, but generally speaking, God starts with His Word. He says something before He does it. Like us guys, right? We see something needs done, and we talk about it. We say we're going to get that done. We talk with our buddies about it. You know, well, I was thinking about doing it this way, and you know, you get ideas from them and whatnot. And so I just want to encourage you ladies to remember that. If we say we're going to do it, we're going to do it. We don't need reminded every month and year, okay? We said it, we're going to do it, right?
Just do it.
It's going to get taken care of. It's humorous, but think about it in reality. How many of you are sitting here this morning, God said something. It's yes and amen, it's true, but it hasn't happened yet, right? And I'm like you ladies, I get impatient with God. And I'm like, okay, it's time. Like, let's do it now. Like, come on, God, you know? So we get impatient sometimes. And so we're going to learn how God works in unexpected ways. How He often works through process. But I love it. I love, love, love it. Because sometimes He works through process. But there are so many, many, many times when God just instantly did it. Instantly healed somebody who had been sick for decades, right? Instantly, raised someone from the dead who had been dead for days. I mean, he's an unexpected God. The very start of all of creation, think about that. It began with what? God's Word. God spoke, and it came into existence.
Amen.
That's how powerful His Word is. What we take for granted, the Word that we have, it is powerful. It brings life. It makes things that are not as if they are. They just are. They just come into existence. You know, when we speak it by faith, when we proclaim it and declare it and believe it. In fact, God said this in Amos chapter 3, verse 7. It says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing His plans to His servants, the prophets.
Amen.
Us men were created in God's image, right? Right? We speak it. We talk about it. God talks about it. And He speaks through the prophets. He speaks through the prophets what's coming. And I've been hearing some really, really good prophecies lately.
Yeah.
There's some good stuff coming this way, right? Yeah. Revival is coming. Revival is on its way. A wave like we've we've never seen before. And, you know, I don't want this. I don't know about you all, but I don't want this to be like these other revivals that I've heard about and experienced myself. I want this to be an enduring revival. I want this to be something that starts in our generation and gets passed on the next generation, gets passed on the next generation, and I want it to grow and to grow like a whirlpool in a bowl, right? You guys been hopping in the pool lately if you got one? Yeah, like a whirlpool. So you know what? The next generation, we're trudging and trudging and declaring and believing. The next generation, they hop in and they're a little lucky and they're like, whee, this is fun. They just get right away, right? That's the kind of revival I believe God is birthing here in this place. It's going to be good. So good. But we're going to start our journey. I wanted to start it someplace different, but God's plans are better than mine, so I'm just going to trust that. If you want to turn in your Bibles, back to the beginning in Genesis. And if you're not sure where Genesis is in the Bible, about 90% of us probably do. It's the very first book, so it's hard to miss. If you're pushing, it's just the first one in the top left of your list, right? Genesis, we're going to start in chapter 12. It's going to start with an unexpected prophetic work from God, as almost all of his workings begin. When God speaks, our lives are often in for some sudden and unexpected changes. I don't know if you've ever received a phone call or something of an unexpected word, and all of a sudden your life was turned upside down, never to be the same. Usually when we think of those phone calls, like I remember one that we were thinking about this past week, you know, while we were away on vacation, the phone call I got, I'm like, I see a voicemail while I'm at work from, you know, the corner here, Brian Myers, and I'm like, it's another drug overdose, you know. I'm complaining, like, oh, I'm not complaining, I'm lamenting. I'm like, man, like, God needs to do something in our community. There's been too many, too many. And then I answer a phone call, and he's just like, hey, give me a call as soon as you can. I'm like, okay. I call him, and it was my dad who had passed away. Completely unexpected. And you're just life, our life has never been the same, you know, since. And I know I'm not the only one. Many of you have received those kind of phone calls. When God speaks through his prophets, it is not that kind of phone call. When God speaks unexpected things into your life is never going to be the same. It's going to be better. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
He's going to build you up. He's going to do something miraculous in and through your life. So yeah, shake off that.
Hallelujah.
I felt the atmosphere change there. It's like, oh man. You know, a word from the Lord, it's always good, right? Always good. And so a word came to a man named Abram. Many of you have heard of him, right? He's known as the father of many faiths, but we know that the truth is he's the father of the one true faith, right? The only true faith. When God is leading, it's going to be an adventure. There's going to be difficult times. But as long as we hang in there with God, it's going to be good.
Amen.
If you go down to Kennywood, you hop on the Steel Phantom, and you get to the top of that click, 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 and you decide to jump off at that point, that's going to be the worst ride of your life. But if you hang in there, and you go down and you're under the thunderbolt and you're like, you know, it's horrifying, but it's thrilling and it's exciting and it ends well. You live through that ride. You may have thought you were going to die many times throughout it, but you live, right? And then afterwards you're like, that was awesome. I want to do it again. That's what it's like when you receive a prophetic word from the Lord. Now, Abram's life was about to get changed in a significant way. Bear with me. Most of us are familiar with this account. Some of you may be hearing it for the first time, so bear with me if it's familiar with you. In fact, Jesus, just give us your eyes to see and your ears to hear, Lord. Yes. Lord, sometimes we get so hardened by familiar Bible stories, we call them, and we forget about the reality. This was a real man just like us who received an unexpected word from you. So Jesus, give us fresh eyes. Fresh ears. Lord, we open our hearts to you right now. We just ask you to just do something new in our lives through this familiar story in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It's a good place to start, right? Verse 1. Sorry, I'm clicking like way ahead. We're getting there. Okay, so the Lord had said to Abram, such a simple phrase, that's never a simple phrase. When the Lord says something, stuff happens. He said, let there be light. I mean, we still got light to this day, right?
Amen.
Thousands of years later. I mean, come on. When God speaks, stuff changes. And the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, from your people, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. put yourself in his shoes for a moment. I want you to leave the U.S. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your people, your church family, your biological family. I want you to leave everything that is comfortable to you, everything that you rely on and depend on, and I just want you to go. Just go. Most of us would sit and be like, okay, well, I'll wait until you tell me where, Lord, you know, or, and I need something more. Not Abram. And this is the word. God's, when he challenges us to do something, at least I found this in my own life, and I found this in the Word of God. When God challenges you to do something very difficult and uncomfortable, to get up and just leave everything, he may not tell Abram where he's going, but he's going to attach a promise to it, to encourage us, to give us the strength for that journey. God is going to attach a promise to that sacrifice. There's always a promise attached to every sacrifice that God requires. When you're required the sacrifices and offerings later on in the Bible, it was done in faith to receive a promise, as it still is for us today. We receive everything by faith, every promise. So, he challenges him to go, and he says in verse 2, here's the promise, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. In fact, I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. All the people on earth will be blessed through you.
Amen.
Whew, you want to talk about promise?
Yeah.
Wow. But we think about this. This is Father Abraham, Father Laban. This was a dude. This was a guy, a man. And the Lord came to him at an unexpected time, gave him this unexpected challenge and an unexpected promise. He's going to make this man, his name great. He's going to make this man famous. He's going to make this man into a nation of people. And he's going to bless the entire earth through that man. Now, most of us know how that ended up happening, but just keep in mind that he knows none of those details the way that we do. All he knows is he's going to leave people and he's going to be great. Like, that's a weighty promise. And so in verse 4, this is how Abram responded. Really simple. So, Abram went. Isn't that awesome? Receiving God's promises is so easy. Stan preached all about it last week. Just do what he says to do.
Amen.
It sounds so easy, but man, that word challenges me so much because I excuse so many things here in New Hope. Pastor can't make it. All right, no problem. Catch you next time. But Stan brought that word from Jesus about the parable of the wedding feast. And the people are like, oh man, I'd love to come, but I just can't make it because I just bought an oxen. I want to go check it out. I just bought property. I want to check it out. I just got married. I want to enjoy my honeymoon. Legitimate reasons, right? Then any one of us would be like, oh, no big deal. Yeah, we'll catch you later. What did Jesus say about those people? They're headed to hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. They're missing out. They received an invitation to one of the greatest things ever, and they gave an excuse for lesser things, right? Why do we settle for lesser things? When God challenges us with something, why don't we say, I'm on board. This is it. Let's do it, right? Abram went. He went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. That was his nephew. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. That was the town, the country that he was living in. There's a blessing when we just obey, when we just say yes, Lord, when we just do what he calls us to do, sacrifice what he calls us to sacrifice. There's always a good promise that comes with it. Now, initially, I just want to give a little preface here. This word of the Lord is entirely unexpected. If you read just the chapter before, and I didn't for time's sake, Abram's dad was initially on his way, moving his family from Ur of Chaldeans to Canaan. He was headed to Canaan. But when they arrived at Haran, it was a nice, comfy, cushy place, and so he decided to settle down there. But God, we're going to find out here soon. Now, Abram didn't know that, but we know this now. God was asking Abram to continue his father's journey. That's where they were supposed to be. But they got comfortable in the place in between. We're going to learn that this is a very, very, very common pattern. God calls it sin. We call it no big deal. We need to call it what God calls it.
Amen.
We get comfortable. We get complacent. We stay where we're at. This is a good place. I like these people. I like this place. Everything I need is provided for. I'm being blessed, so that's where God wants me, right? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. God was asking him to continue on that journey. Also, 75 years old, we think it's ancient, you know, in our day and age, but back then it really wasn't that old. I mean, his dad lived to be 205. So he wasn't even at his midpoint yet, right? His granddad lived to be 119. His great-granddad lived to be 200 years old. So 75 and later 200, not all that old, as we would think initially, based on our timelines today, right? However, the unexpected part was, first of all, God's going to make Abram into a great nation. He'll bless all the people on the face of the earth. I mean, that's a pretty huge and unexpected promise to make. And it's interesting because just as God had recently chose one man, Noah, to save the earth, God was choosing one man, Abram, to ultimately redeem all of mankind.
Amen.
As part of this huge story. But this time, instead of just killing off everybody else and letting his family live, I'm sorry, I laugh, but it's how God did it. He killed off everyone except for Noah and his family, right? God's like, okay, I don't think that God really did this, but I'm silly and I like to think this way sometimes. He's like, okay, that didn't work out so well, so let's do this a different way. This time, instead of killing off everybody, letting that family live, this time, I'm going to take one man, I'm going to give him a family, I'm going to make him into a nation, and they're going to be my people. They're going to be my favorite. And they're going to be a lighthouse for the rest of the world to see how I care about all of my creation. They're going to be a people to represent the relationship of what it looks like to live out a relationship with the God of all the universe. That was his plan for Abram, and he made it through one man. Of course, we know there was another man that came, you know, that he chose to do this again through once and for all. But here is the interesting part. He's going to make them into a nation. He's going to make Abram into a nation. How is Abram going to do that? Because if you read the verse before, it says that Sarai, his wife, was barren, unable to have children. So that's not just a challenging promise, that's an impossible promise. Can't happen. Physically impossible. How do those two people become a great nation? You know? Wow. So, in any case, Abram shakes all that stuff off. He obeys the Lord and begins traveling this unknown place that God was going to show him. And that's how we ought to live as well. When God calls us to do something, we just do it. We trust him. You may say you believe in Jesus, you believe in God. That's really believing, right? Right? Rubber meets the road, you're actually living it out. Your life is revealing your trust in God, even though it might make no sense to the rest of the world all around you, right? And so he goes. We don't have to have it all figured out. We don't even have to know exactly where we're heading. All that we need to know is the next step that God has called us into and to take it. It's a step of faith. It's a step of obedience. But he will always meet you there. He will always uphold you and support you. He will level the mountains. He will raise the valleys. He will always make a way where there doesn't seem to be any other way when you're walking in obedience to him. It's a pretty safe place to be then, isn't it?
Amen.
We have to remind ourselves of that. This is a scary place, but it's a safe place, right? I'm safe here. It's like when you're in that roller coaster strap. Like, this is safe. Doesn't feel safe right now, but it's the safest place for you to be. Don't bail early, okay? Don't bail on the Lord early. It's dangerous. Hang in there with him. Faith. All right, so God did that, Abraham did that. And what did God do? He began to richly bless him. He blessed him with livestock. He blessed him with gold, with silver. And as he was traveling, he got to the point where the land couldn't support him anymore, him and his nephew Lot. They were just being so richly blessed that there was no way to contain it. So they figured they're going to have to split ways. So he allowed Lot to choose the land that he would move off to. And Abram said, I'll go the other way. You go east, I'll go west. You go north, I'll go south. You pick, and I'll go the other place. The moment that Abram split ways with Lot, something happened. Now think about that. What did God tell Abram to do? To get up, to leave his country, to leave his household, his people. What did he do? He brought Lot with him. And it tripped him up a bit. We're going to talk about that a tiny bit. He brought Lot with him. He was obedient, mostly. But he brought a security blanket, right? Lot, you come with me. I need something familiar here, right? So it got to the point where God's like, uh-uh. And as soon as Abram decided to part ways from Lot, to shake off the baggage, to let our past in the past, how many of us don't need to do that this morning? Let your past in the past, the moment Abram decided, that was yesterday, I'm stepping into today, what happened? God came again, and he reminded him, because many years had passed since this reminder. And we turn to Genesis chapter 13, starting verse 14. It said, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, now look around from where you are, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. All the land that you see, I'm giving to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Anybody ever try counting dust? Yeah, you can't do it. Not possible. He said, go walk through the length and the breadth of the land, because I am giving it to you. And you want to know the coolest thing about God's promises? Look at the nation of Israel today. Forever, God said it was going to be their land. Is it their land? It still is. Are there mighty, mighty, mighty nations all around them trying to snuff them out? Yeah. Absolutely. But they just can't do it. Even when they thought they succeeded, up pops Israel again.
Hallelujah.
You just can't keep a godly man down, right? Or woman. You just can't. All right, so the Lord said to Abram after a long part and said, go look. So here's the point here. God works in cooperation with us. His promises are always yes and amen, but we got to take the step. And I want to challenge you to pray about that. Think about that. What is the next step that God is calling you to take? Because a lot of us, I think, have gotten comfortable, very comfortable, in what was the land he was in? Haran. Very comfortable there. But that's not, that may have been God's plan for you to pass through, not to camp in them. It's like Dave used to always say, right? You know, you go through the valley of the shadow of death, that doesn't mean you got to camp out there, right? We're not camping out in Haran. It's part of God's plan for your life. It's not the destiny. It's not the destination. Keep moving, even when you're comfortable and you like it and you don't feel like moving anymore. You got to keep moving. God works in cooperation with mankind. He is always faithful to do his part, but it's always our choice of whether to obediently follow him or to do what we think is best. It's really the only two choices you got in life, your way or God's way. Because you know how the enemy works? It's not even the enemy's way. The enemy will plead to your way, right? He'll make you think that you're Burger King and you just can always have it your way. And you're missing out as a result. We have to take the next step. We have to keep in step with the Spirit. We need to move under his lead and his guide, and as Stanley mentioned last week, under his covering. That's where his covering is. That's where his blessing is when you're keeping in step with what he's calling you into. It is always an adventure when God gives us a promise. It's always an adventure. There's always going to be challenges. Nobody wants to watch a movie when there's no opposition. Nobody cares about a superhero who has no nemesis, right? There's always going to be opposition when God calls you into a promise. There's always going to be somebody that doesn't want you to receive it. Pick it up anyways. Take that step anyways, right? It's an adventure. It's a joy, God's joy, to bless us as children. And it's his desire for all of us. He wants us all to be blessed. And I'm just being with the livestock, silver, and gold, right? You should be blessed in many different ways. Who knows, the silver and gold can't buy you, you know, contentment in life, but how much of a blessing it is to have that, or joy, or all these things. He freely has granted us access into his kingdom. When you put your faith in Jesus, you've got the keys of the kingdom. You've got the Holy Spirit. You are marked. You are signed. You've got that signet ring. You've got access into the entire kingdom of God. Have fun exploring it. It's an adventure. Explore it, just the way that Abram was exploring this promise of God. God literally told him, okay, I'm giving it all to you, east, north, south, west. Now go check it out. Go have some fun. Explore it. Walk it off. Everything that you step on is yours. There's nothing boring about the kingdom of God, because every step you you take in the kingdom of God, it's yours. You have access to it. It's your dad's, but he's giving you freedom to explore it and to receive it all. And there's always something new to discover, always. Sometimes we need to remember that promise. That's why God came to Abram again and reminded him of that promise. And sometimes we need to do that. We need to remind ourselves of God's promises and his prophetic words to us. In fact, Paul, by the way, it was headed to Canaan. Paul reminded Timothy of this exact thing here. He said, "Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well."
Amen.
Receiving God's promises, it's going to be a battle. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you this morning. There's going to be opposition. It's going to seem impossible. God works in unexpected ways. But we need to recall the prophecies made about us. We need to recall the promises that God made in his word and what he has spoke to us through the prophetic giftings, so that we can fight the battle well. Some of us have settled down in Haran just because we're tired of fighting and it's comfortable here. I'm encouraging you, pick up those prophetic words and start declaring them over your life once again. Start taking that next step into them, because that is your destiny. Don't miss out on it. Don't miss out on God's destination for you. It is worth it. It is absolutely worth it. Now, throughout the course of our lives, it's important to keep those words to remind us and to be a compass directing our lives, because otherwise we'll end up like Abram's dad, right? We'll forget the purpose and the destiny for which God created us, and we'll settle down, right? Anybody ever follow their GPS and end up like that? Yeah. Oh, anyways. We don't want to be like that. We want God's word to be our compass and to guide us, to be our GPS through life, so that we don't miss out. We don't want to get comfortable where we're at. We don't want to follow Jesus halfway or half-hearted and then expect him to drag us the rest of the way into the promised land, right? Doesn't work that way. God equips us. God calls us. God enables us. God resources us. But what did he tell Abram? Walk. Go. Get moving, right? We are the ones to walk that promise out. We also know full well that we have an enemy who doesn't want us to get to our destination, to become all that we were created to be. He wants us to be comfortable. He wants us to kick back and relax, right? He'll cater to your flesh and just make you feel like that's where you need to be. But that's not God's plan. That's not God's promises to us. The battle is raging, whether you believe it or not. Abram was alerted that his nephew Lot had been taken captive. He got caught in the crossfire. Wrong place at the wrong time. Where was Lot supposed to be? He was supposed to be back in Haran, right? Abram was never supposed to drag him along. Yeah. Don't drag other people into your sin, please. It didn't go well for Lot, did it? We know the whole story. His wife was a little salty about it, even at this point. Sorry. Sorry, I had to add to.
Good one.
You know, it's going to be laughing at your own jokes. Sometimes I'm the only one in my house laughing at my own jokes. Just because he is at the wrong place at the wrong time, where was he outside of the covering of God? Wasn't where he was supposed to be. Dangerous place to be. He got caught in the crossfire. He got taken off, held in captivity. In the middle of there's 8 kings battling. He got caught in the crossfire, got dragged off. Abram heard about it, and he went back and delivered his nephew. And brought him back into the place of freedom. Not only did he bring Lot back to a place of freedom, he brought back his entire household and everything that the enemy had stolen. Abram brought back. Does that remind you of anybody? Yeah. Jesus has done that for you. Whatever you may have lost, whatever the enemy may have stolen, Jesus bought it back.
Amen.
He paid the price.
Thank you.
And it's not just yours, The enemy owes you some interest, okay? He owes you some interest on that time that he had stolen, and it's time to take back what the enemy has stolen from us, right? But let me be more specific. Abram took back Lot, his household, and everything been stolen from him with 318 men. 318 men overpowered 4 kingdoms and their militaries.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? Uh-huh. 4 kingdoms. All of their military force. Abram was able to defeat them with 318 men. You have an idea of why that might be the case? Because that's a bad military strategy. That's a losing strategy. But just like Shadrach and Benny, right? We talked about it youth last week. There was another one in the fire, wasn't there? There was another one fighting with Abram. The Lord was fighting with him and for him. Even though he had messed up, even though he had sinned, even though he took Lot when he was not supposed to take Lot, God didn't be like, well, told you so. Sure problem. See what happens when you screw up? Like, I'm a loving father and I do to my children all the time. Didn't I tell you? Now what? What, you expect me to clean up your mess, right? What does a loving father do?
Cleaned up his mess.
Yep, they clean up the mess. Every time.
Hallelujah.
And that is how good our Heavenly Father is. He fought with Abram and he cleaned up the mess and he delivered Lot. If he can deliver Lot from towns like Sodom and Gomorrah, he can free you from anything, amen. Right? Might be some people here this morning getting freed from Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Freed up! Following that victory, Abram not only defeated those kingdoms, he got to meet the king whom I believe was the one that fought the battle with him. Myself and many others included believe that who he encountered was none other than Jesus Christ himself, the King of Peace, the King of Kings. And I believe this from Hebrews chapter 5 through 7 and Psalm 119. But we find here in Genesis chapter, I'm way ahead of myself here, I think. Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. It says that Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Sound familiar?
Yay.
Communion.
Hallelujah.
He was a priest of the God Most High. This was before the priesthood was established. He was a priest of the God Most High, because it was an everlasting priesthood that will never end. And he blessed Abram. He said, blessed if you're reading it the King James, right? Be Abram by the God Most High, the creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to the God Most High, because he delivered you from your enemies. He delivered them into your hand. And then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Sound familiar? This is before any of this was ever established, right? After all these things happened, anybody ever experienced this? All these awesome things happened, and guess what Abram was still doing regarding the promise of God? Waiting. Many, many, many years had passed. He was still waiting. I want to encourage you this morning, don't give up on the promises of God. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in doing good. It's always at just the right time that God's promises come to pass. And do you know when that just the right time usually is? When you've exhausted every other option.
Just when you need it.
And there's only one way that that promise can come to pass, right? One way that it can happen. That's God himself. It's going to take a miracle.
Amen.
I think God just loves it. Like, it's just exciting for him when it could only be him. And he gets to make a way where there is no other way, so that everyone can look at you and your situation and be like,
thank you, Lord.
All right, we know John and we know Peter, and they're just not ordinary unschooled men. But they were with Jesus.
Yeah.
They were with Jesus. Abram, he's a man of God. I bet his God had something to do with this, right? And it can only be credited to him. So no matter what the doctors are telling you, no matter what your checkbook's telling you, just trust in the Lord and see what he's able to do.
Wait upon the Lord.
Even when you make your own mess, like Abram did, see what the Lord can do to deliver you from that place. He's ready, willing, and able. Just remain passionate about your pursuit of the Lord. Remain zealous to keep in step with him and watch what he will do. Even when you mess up, he will deliver you and save you and restore you. And as we're soon going to see, what usually happens with us started happening to Abram. Abram started to question. He began to misunderstand. I believe he even started to doubt God's promise.
Yeah, amen.
Because he was 75 years old, there's some ways that it could happen. But he was getting older. He was getting older, and so was his wife, who was still barren, by the way. And so he wasn't really sure what was going to happen. So God brought correction to Abraham regarding this mindset. And we read here in Genesis chapter 15, starting in verse 1 through 7. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. So he came to him differently this time. It wasn't just a verbal word. It wasn't just that gut you feel like God's speaking to you. This time he came in a vision, a little more of a concrete and sure and certain way. When you start doubting the Lord, take your doubts to him, please.
Amen.
Go to him with them. And so the word came to him in a vision. And in this vision, the Lord says, do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield. I'm your great reward. Like, keep your eyes on me. It's me who will deliver you. It's me who will fulfill my promise. It's not on you to fulfill my promises. It's on me. Remember that. If God said it, it's not on you to fulfill it. It's on him. The only part that's on you is to obediently do what he's calling you to do.
Amen.
You provide the sacrifice, he'll bring the fire.
Yeah.
Right?
Hallelujah.
You do your part, he'll do his. He's faithful. He always will. But Abram said, but sovereign Lord, what can you give me? I remain childless. The one who's going to inherit my entire estate is Eliezer of Damascus. Abram said, you've given me no children. Don't be afraid to accuse and to blame and to get a little real with God. He's big enough to handle it.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
He already knows how much you're hurting. He knows your pain. He knows your frustration. He knows you're upset with him. Tell him about it. That's what Abram just did. You have given me no children. In Abram's culture, that was a curse. That was not a sign of a blessing. Didn't matter how much silver and golden livestock he had. When he's just going to pass it on to some stranger, a servant in his household. He had no inheritance to leave it to. He said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household is going to be my heir. And then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. The Lord took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he credited him as righteousness. The Lord also said to him, I am the Lord. I am the one who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land and to take possession of it. And so our role in the covenant relationship with God is just to take him at his word, just to believe him at his word. But believing isn't just an intellectual act. It may start in your mind, and it may never reach your mind. You may always doubt. You may never intellectually be able to wrap your mind around the promise of God. It doesn't have to. Be free from that. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to. What believing has to do is to grow deep roots in our heart. And it has to bear good fruit in our actions. Believing happens with all of our mind, all of our heart, all of our soul, and with all of our strength. Does that sound familiar? That's loving the Lord, right? Loving the Lord is the same as trusting and believing in him. If you love him, you'll trust him. And it's not something you just do with your mind. It's something you do with everything you are. That's why there should be no hypocrisy, right? If I believe him, then I'm going to walk it out. I may stumble and fall, but I'm going to get back up. And I'm going to believe again and believe again and believe again. Can you imagine being Abram, though, in that moment? Think about that. The Lord takes you by the hand, leads you outside of your house, and together you look up at the sky that he created, that he spoke, his word created every one of those stars out there. And he says that is the way your offspring is going to be. And remember, God did that just feet from his barren wife. God knew the impossibilities. God knew Abram's frustrations. God knew all these things. And yet he took him by the hand and he showed him a reminder of his promise. Remember how Paul told Timothy, that's how you're going to fight the battle well, by remembering the prophetic word spoken over you? God gave him. How many times did Abram go to an altar to remind himself of the promises of God? So many times. God gave Abram a physical reminder of a promise that he could never escape. Doesn't matter where he traveled on the face of the earth. Didn't even matter if he could travel into space, if he could back in that time. There would always be a constant reminder of that promise.
God's still there.
I believe that we need to find that in our lives. And you may need to create that in your life. You may need to create an altar. Some little thing. I had a cute little sticker once that I put on my mirror, right? There was a reminder of God's promise. So that when I would grow weary and I would lose hope and I'd start being like, this is impossible. It just can't happen. I would look at that reminder and be like, you know what? But the Lord is able. He is able. And he will. He will fulfill his word. Right?
Yeah.
All right. So, Abram, guess what? Imagine God doing that for you. Abram still had his doubts. We continue in verse 8. Can you imagine how down and discouraged he must have been in life? How depressed he probably was, thinking that he's building a kingdom to pass on to, you know, a servant. That even when God takes you by the hand, you still have doubts. This is what Abram said. But Lord, how can I know that I'm going to take possession of all this? So the Lord said this to him. Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each one of them 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. So Abram brought all these to him. He cut them in two. He arranged the halves opposite of each other. The birds, however, he didn't cut in half. And what happened? Verse 11. The birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. And as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep. This happened over the course. He showed him the stars at night. So this happened over the course of an entire day. Now nightfall came all day long. So you do what God called you to do, and nothing happens. And you wait, and nothing happens. And you wait, and nothing happens. Anybody get about that? Anybody living that? Come on! Yeah! Almost all of us with something. All day long he's waiting, and nothing seems to happen. You're thinking, all right, that was just one bad dream. that wasn't the Lord, right? You know, you're starting to question yourself. And it says, as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep. And a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. And then the Lord spoke from that darkness. And he said, know for certain, this is a heavy prophetic word, that for 400 years, your descendants, and again, that's sort of a reminder of the promise, that it will be his own flesh and blood, his own son, his descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. They will be enslaved, they will be mistreated. But I will punish the nation that they serve as slaves. And afterward, they will come out with great possessions. You, however, you will go to your ancestors in peace. You'll be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here. For the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking pot with a blazing torch appeared, and it passed between the pieces of the offerings. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, and he said, to your descendants, I will give this land. From the Wadi to Egypt, the great river, the Euphrates, to the land of the Canaanites, Kenizzites, Cadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites.
Hallelujah.
Now, this is a whole sermon in itself, so for time's sake, I'm not really going to go into it. But this was a natural event that reflected what was happening spiritually, so that Abram really would understand what was happening. It was like an object lesson. What happened to Abram happens to us too. God makes a promise. We follow in obedience. We take the next step. We do what God called us to do. He brought those offerings, and he split them in half, and he did everything that God called him to do. But nothing seems to happen. We wait, and we wait, and we wait, and nothing seems to change. Doubt, doubt and insecurities, those are the birds of prey. Yeah. Doubt and insecurities, those are the vultures of God's word. Those are the birds of prey that come in to steal, kill, and destroy during that waiting period. I believe that most of us miss out on the promises of God for that one reason, the waiting season. We are not a patient people. We don't trust processes. We want our microwave popcorn, right? We don't want to put it over the stove and oil and wait for it to start popping, right? We want it the way we want it now. But the kingdom of God, as Stan preached last week, it's a kingdom. It's not a democracy. It's not even a democratic republic. It's not any of those forms of government. It is a kingdom. What God says goes, and it goes when he says that it's going to go. When he tells the angel, now's the time. It happens. But not a moment before that, and not a moment after. We have to trust in the Lord's timing. It sometimes is instant. He promises it and it happens. And whew, I love those times. We click our heels and we rejoice when God does that, right? You know? Yeah. But there are also times and he promises and months pass, years pass, decades pass, and still hasn't happened. What do we have to do? Chase off those birds of prey. Stand on the promise of God. Remain unmoved. Remain unshaken. Amen. Doesn't matter how long it takes. God said it was going to happen. And you shake off those doubts and insecurities the way that Abram chased off those birds of prey all day long. They didn't get a bite of any of the Lord's offerings because what was the Lord's was holy. Amen. It was set apart for him. It wasn't for those vultures. Don't you dare give what is the Lord's to the vultures that come in to steal, kill, and destroy. All right, you fight them off. You're a warrior in the kingdom of God, right? You're a warrior. And the Lord honored it. He came, he fired up the sacrifice, he received it, and it was worthy. So, at just the right time, what's that new Toby Mac song right now? It's time to talk about the next verse.
It's on the way.
Yeah, that's right. It's on the way, right? It may be
midnight
or late day. He's never early. He's never late. You gotta stand and trust what he says. Because he lived enough life to say that help's on its way, right? Maybe midnight or midday. But he's never early, he's never late. He said it is gonna happen, but it's gonna happen at his appointed Kairos time. Not on Steve's timetable, because Steve's timetable is always now. Trust me, it's always I want it now. It's on God's timetable. Why? It's only a blessing when it happens when he appoints it, right?
Amen.
Alright, so 24 years had now passed from when God made that promise to Abram. 24 years. Has anybody ever seen God fulfill his word after 24 years? Anybody? Many of us here who have lived in the Christian faith long enough know sometimes you've waited for many years before it came to pass. But it happened. So when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and he said again, I am the Lord God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless, and I will make a covenant between me and you, and I will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down. God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. In fact, no longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I, you hear the Lord keep saying, I'm going to do it. This is what I'm doing. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you. Kings are going to come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants and after you for generations and generations to come. I will be their God. I will be the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to your and your descendants after you. And again, I will be their God. So now, not only was this an unexpected promise of God because of Sarai's infertility, Abram's 99 years old. And even though he was going to live probably another 100 years or so, God's fertility table hadn't changed. This was now impossible. Absolutely impossible for them to have children. God brought more than just a reminder of his promise this time. He gave more than an everlasting sign to remind Abram of his promise. This time, God said, you are my promise. I'm going to rename you from Abram to Abraham. Your identity is now my promise, who I created you to be, what I destined you for. It is who you are. Every time you say your name, you're declaring my prophetic promise. I am the father of many nations. The name Abram means, you know, we think along the lines of great father, but the name Abraham is the father of nations.
Amen.
Plural nations. He expanded his promise, and he caused God to identify with it. Do you realize who you are in Christ?
Amen.
Sometimes we need that reminder. I am more than just Stephen with an N. Don't dare call me Steve, right? As my mother would say, I don't mind being called Steve, but oh, she might still be bothered by it. Anyways, you're more than that. So much more. You are so, man. Just take a look at who you are in Christ. If you need a reminder, there's little pamphlets back there. Go through a whole list of the scriptures to back them up. Now, Abram and Sarah, they knew this was impossible, so what many of us choose to do. They figured, okay, God said it, I'm going to make it happen, right? Hagar and Ishmael, I'm not going to go into the story. Not enough time today. They tried to force it to happen on their own. But what I never realized, as many times as I've read through the story and studied it, is that they chose to try to force it to happen less than a year before God had chose to have it happen. The finish line was there. He had waited 24 years. He was months away. And he's like, I've had enough. I'm going to try to do it on my own, right? Don't give up. You're so close. Breakthrough is so near.
Amen.
You know one thing I can promise you? It's one day closer than it was yesterday, right?
Amen. Yeah.
Every day you are closer to God fulfilling his promises in your life. And guess what? Even when you sin and blow it, first of all, he brought Lot. Now he went and got along with some servant to force himself to have children, you know? It doesn't matter how much you blow it. God still kept his covenant promise. It created a whole mess. Every time you do it, it creates a mess. Look at Lot and all the messes he got himself into. Look at Ishmael and Sarah. I mean, that's a whole mess. It's a mess that plagues us to this day. You can look at your history that way. But anyways, Genesis 21, 1 through 7. We got to get to this part today. Genesis 21, verse 1 through 7. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah. She had been renamed as well. And as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant at 90 years of age. According to Genesis 17, 17. 90 years of age. Can you imagine being a mom at 90 years? Wow. And Abram was 99, right? Yes, 99. And bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time that God had promised him. We just read through the promises. Is anyone else scratching their head? Did anybody else catch that time frame? I missed it. I still don't see it. But according to God's word, that's the time that he promised to do. You know why? Because God's God and he knew when it was going to happen.
Amen.
He didn't reveal it. It required trust. It required faith. That's the time that God decided he's going to do it. When? When it was impossible. When it was absolutely impossible by any human means. Only God could do it. And so in verse 4 says, when his son Isaac was 8 years old, Abram circumcised him as God had commanded him. Just taking that step of faith. Even though it was kind of weird and it didn't make a lot of sense to him, he did it because God said to do it. And he was blessed because of it. In verse 5, Abram was 100 years old. I lied, it wasn't 99. He was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. And everyone who hears about this, they're going to laugh at me too. I mean, come on. 90 years old, and she's pregnant and going to give birth to a son. Everyone's going to laugh about it, you know? At it, for it, with it, I don't know. Everyone's going to be laughing for their own reasons. And she said, I just love it. She added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Think about how many years she walked in shame, unable to give children to her husband. All of their servants were having kids. Their households were growing, and their master had none. For all those years, she lived in shame, but God removed her shame at just the right time. Because she said, yet I have borne him a son in his old age. God's promises are always yes and amen, right?
Hallelujah.
You are never too old.
Yes.
You are never too far gone. You have never sinned too much. You've never anything. There is nothing that can stop God's promises from happening in your life. Nothing.
Thank you, Lord.
So we always should return to them. If we have swayed and we've gone off course, we've got to return back to his promises. They are always yes and amen. They are as certain as God is himself. Why? Because he's the one who promised them. When he fulfills his word, it's just honoring himself. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with him. He's good. He is faithful. He loves us. He cares about us. He wants to fulfill his word. Look at what Paul said here in summarizing this whole story. Don't you wish I would have started with this and not went through the whole thing?
No.
No. I love the Old Testament, New Testament volleyball that happens, ping pong.
Yeah.
I love it. Therefore, the promise of God, what does it come by?
Faith.
Old Testament, New Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant, that promise, this promise, they all come by faith. Always. So that it may be by God's grace alone, and it may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are born of the law, but also us who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all, right? Many. Anybody remember that? Many children as Father Abraham. How's it go? I'm one of them. So are you? So let's say, yeah, many sons as Father Abraham. Many sons? Yeah, I don't remember it. Anyways, you got it, right? This is what that song is referring to. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom we have believed. The God who gives life to dead and calls things which are not as if though they were. He called him the father of many nations when his wife was barren and he had zero children. Sarah, whatever language you want to speak it in. No children. And yet, what did God call Abraham? The father of many nations. Not just the father of a son, the father of nations. He calls things that are not as if though they are. Why? He exists in eternity. To him, it is. To him, it is true. To us, it's impossible, but to him, it's true. So what does that mean? To him, nothing is impossible. All things are possible through Christ, right? It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so he became the father of many nations. What did Abraham do to make this happen? Believed. He just believed.
Trust and obey.
Ooh.
Hallelujah.
And there's no other way, right? Just trust and obey. It's that simple. Why don't we complicate it? Just trust and obey. Trust what the Lord says. Do what he says to do. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, and this is the point that we need to remember, without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. She was in her 90 at that point, right? Yet he didn't waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Instead, he was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God. Because he was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised.
Amen.
And amen.
That's how you believe. That's how you trust. That's how you live out your faith. You can speak the facts. Ain't nothing happening. I'm 100 years old. Give me a break. You know? It's impossible. You can say that without speaking doubt. It strengthened his faith. He faced the facts, but guess what always trumps the facts? The truth of God, the promise of God. What God says always trumps the facts of our reality. Always, every time. That's why we call it a miracle. It's not natural, it's supernatural, right? They faced the fact that bodies were as good as dead, but it actually strengthened their faith because at this point, it was only the Lord. They were fully persuaded that God had the power to fulfill his promises. Are we in that place? Are we fully persuaded Now, does that mean that Abram never had seasons of doubt? You guys heard me just teach this morning, right? He had times that he doubted. He questioned God. He literally questioned the Lord to his face. That's bold. He questioned it. How's it going to happen? But he went back and he built up his own faith and he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded. God had the power to be promised. That is why in verse 22 it says, it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were not written for him alone, but also for us, in whom God will credit righteousness for anyone who believes in him. Anyone who believes that Jesus our Lord was raised from the dead, that he was delivered over to death for our sins, and that he was raised again to life for justification, those who believe will be credited as righteous.
Thank you, Lord.
Who here is righteous this morning? Come on, let me hear an amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
If you believe that the Lord Jesus died for your sins and was raised again to life, that's how we become righteous. You don't become righteous by living a good, faithful life. Yeah. All of your righteousness, the Bible says in the clean G-rated version, dirty rags, right? It's a tampon, you know, literally is what that word means. It's your dirty rags from not being in a period. It's gross. It's nothing to God. That's what your righteousness is. No, I'm sorry, the Bible says that. That's not me being gross. That's literally what the Bible says. Our righteousness comes through Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
We were sinners. Now we are saved by the grace of God.
Yes.
Now we are a new creation in him. Now the old is gone, the new has come. Now there is nothing impossible for God to do in and through my life. Because the life I live, it's not my own, it's his. I live by faith. And I believe in every promise of God. What he says about me, that's what I am. What God says he will do for me, that is what he will do. It is going to happen. It's going to happen as long as we hang in there and we cling to him, right? So this morning it's time for us to dig back up those promises of God. Dig back up those prophetic words and start believing once again. Like Abraham, cast off those birds of prey. They're trying to steal it away, right? The crows and the vultures and all those birds that come in to steal, kill, and destroy. Shake them off. Shake them off of those words and start believing again. Stop being comfortable in Iran and start moving into Canaan. And don't settle down once you enter the doors in the kingdom of Canaan. You know, don't put your life in Jesus' hands and be like, oh, I'm saved. That's good. I'm not going to hell anymore. You've got a whole kingdom to explore. Not only that, you are now an ambassador. You get to take the riches of the kingdom of God and give them to those around you who need them. You are now the light of the world, right? Now you get to go out there, and like Abraham, he blessed all the people of the earth. Guess what? That promise of God to Abraham thousands of years ago, you are the fulfillment.
Hallelujah.
You are the one that goes out there and blesses the earth because of the promise given to God. Don't take that lightly. We think about the men and women who gave their life to die for our freedom in this nation. We don't want to take our civil freedoms lightly. Think about all the men and women of faith who have gone before us. Here we are, thousands of years later, because somebody was bold enough to share their faith with somebody. Who shared their faith with somebody. Who shared their faith with somebody. Here we are today, because somebody cared enough to share the good news about what God has promised. So we're going to close here with a word of prayer and a song of worship that can also be our prayer. There's nothing too hard for God. Whatever promise you may have grown weary in and you may have given up on, it's time to stir back up your faith again. It's time to believe again. Today is the day of your salvation, right? And when you wake up tomorrow, guess what? Today is the day of my salvation. Today is the day of God's fulfillment of his promises, right? Every day, we get to wake up in a new grace, in a new love. Every day is a new day in the Lord. And every day we get to just explore his kingdom and receive him. So Jesus, we just thank you so much for fulfilling the promise of God's salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for taking on the curse and death that my sin earned me, and for freely giving me your salvation, for freely giving me your righteousness, that I can come boldly before your throne, that I can explore your kingdom, that I can receive every one of your promises through faith. Jesus, you made it all possible. God, I thank you for choosing Abram and for making a covenant with him. Lord, I thank you because I am one of his children, one of those promises, children of promise. I am a child of promise. And Jesus, help me not to be selfish with it. Help me not to be comfortable with it, but to share your promises to every need out there around me. Jesus, when I'm out there shopping and I hear someone having health issues, give me the boldness to share with them the good news of your promise of healing. When I see someone whose family member is so bound and broken by addiction, Lord, give me the strength to speak your promise of deliverance into that situation. Lord, I just declare this morning, here I am, use me. I believe you are the God of miracles. Lord, help me to walk out your miracles, keeping in step with you, Holy Spirit, within me, letting you guide and direct me, Lord, throughout this land of Canaan, this land of promise. Because we believe there are miracles happening around us, Lord, not just here this morning, but every day and everywhere we go, Lord. You are the God of the miracles. You are the God who is with us. You are the God who is for us, Lord. We believe in you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. We believe in you, Lord. You are the God of miracles. In your name, Lord. Yes.
Amen. Amen.